Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
The sports gods just cannot let Minnesotans have a couple of positive days in this world. Seriously. Kirill Kaprizov re-signs with the Wild Tuesday night. Everyone's happy. Everyone's fired up. He's coming back. We're going to take another stab at this thing. And then Wednesday afternoon, the news breaks that the Timberwolves president, former president now, Gersan Rostas, is officially out. As we welcome you in to the Strom Sports Show, episode 165. Steven Strom here. The show is brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code Strom, STROM, at manscaped.com. We have so much to get into, so much to tackle. Gersan Rostas, that's what we'll lead with. But I really wanted to talk some positive stuff with Kirill Kaprizov re-signing. We also have a matchup with the Seahawks on Sunday. We got the late game. We're going to have Jen Mueller coming on in just a few minutes to preview the Vikings and Seahawks. She is with the Mariners. She's out for Root Sports in the Northwest covering the Hawks and the Mariners. So she'll join us as well. We also have my guarantees, my Steve's NFL 3 guarantees, which went 3-0 last week, 5-1 overall. So make sure to get your pen and paper down because we're going to be firing off those in just a few minutes here. But we've got to lead with the obvious, and that's Gersan Rostas, who abruptly was let go here by the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're starting to get information that's coming out because I know just like you and just like me, I was very surprised when this happened. The timing of this was incredibly wacky 4 days before training camp. I mean, listen, training camp is right here, right? Like the 28th is when this thing kicks off. I've got media day for the Miami Heat on Monday. So it's the timing of this is incredibly quirky. But as we've sort of read things that have come out here at a WCCO, John Krasinski, this was something that needed to be done immediately, effectively, like because there was something that went on behind the scenes that really pushed boundaries, and we saw and read complaints within the organization about a toxic culture, about an inappropriate relationship, and we can only speculate on those things. But I know that there's a lot of people, including myself, before this information came out, what are the Wolves doing? Those are the cries that I was saying because I looked at just the totality of what Rostas has done here, and we can just do it real quick. I thought for the most part his basketball moves I agreed with, right? Like trading Andrew Wiggins, the fact that he got a suitor for Andrew Wiggins with that contract to get rid of Wiggins to bring in D'Lo was something that I thought was impossible before Rostas got there. This is a guy that developed Naz Reid, undrafted Jordan McLaughlin into role players for this Wolves team. He also brought in his coach, Chris Finch, after firing Ryan Saunders. He got Patrick Beverly here. A lot of the reason why Pat Bev came here was because of the initial connection with Gersan Rostas. And Rostas has been very, very clear and concise on rebuilding this franchise through culture. A franchise that doesn't have a ton of stability, a franchise that is now going to be looking for its ninth head of basketball ops in 13 years, a franchise that since losing the 2004 Western Conference Final have only had two winning seasons and one playoff appearance. They've had 11 coaches in the past 17 years. Rostas, honestly, again, before we heard this information that came out, I think a lot of people were high on what he was doing with this team. Record-wise, of course, last year was a disappointment. You couldn't get your two best players healthy at the same time. But some of the stuff that we've seen with Anthony Edwards, him coming into his second year, this was a guy I think that Minnesotans actually sort of bought into and were looking to be patient with. But the more concerning thing here was the reaction from Carl Towns on Twitter when he says, what the F? And, that to me spoke volume of this move in terms of even Towns was shocked by this. And you would think that Towns would be in on these meetings, and he probably is on a lot of these interactions with the GM. And, I mean, Carl Towns is your best player. Carl Towns is your franchise guy. He's entering an extremely important year. And originally when you know, Kat tweeted that out. I said, oh my God, how do they not give him a heads up? How is he not involved? This, that, and the third. No, it's not. Like, this was a shock to everyone. And I think it spoke to how, what's the word that I'm looking for? It spoke to how out of the blue that this move was, like, for Karl Towns, for fans, but the organization, and it showed, they couldn't even consult with Karl Towns. This was an action that needed to be made very quickly here. And I think that speaks to what has gone on behind the scenes. And again, we don't want to speculate, but what we've read and what we've been able to at least uncover some rocks is there was a toxic culture going on within the organization. I don't know necessarily towards the players. I think this is more about maybe just people inside that front office. And then the inappropriate relationship, which your mind can only wander with. I'm not going to get into that. You can make your own assumptions about that. But as soon as I heard this, the first instinct was rip the Wolves, Glenn Taylor this. Oh, this same old, this is why we have mistrust. Now it's sort of turned into, hey, this might have not been the worst decision, not from a basketball standpoint, from a reputation standpoint. From an organization that is now transitioning to two new owners in Lore and A-Rod. This might not be a terrible move on these two's end or whoever ultimately got together and made this decision, because you have to think that this is much bigger than basketball. This is something that has went on. This is something that's been inappropriate. And for two owners that are going to come in here and try to transcend this franchise into the right direction, that stain might not want to be there. They might not want to deal with that, especially if they know about it going into their first year owning this team. So it's, you know, this is as shocking as I've been with the Wolves. I think, again, like the initial reaction is, what are the Wolves doing? As stuff starts to come out, you almost think to yourself, all right, this really was serious. And if this wasn't this was not a basketball related decision. This was about the personality. This was about the culture. This was about the incident that happened here. So that's where really I'm at right now with the Wolves. I mean, I can't really say much. Wolves are always going to have a soft spot for me. I am 100% invested with my Miami Heat. Love my job. Love the organization. I will always have a soft spot for the Wolves. And, you know, in this case, you know, it's pretty sad that this, you know, ended up happening on Wednesday afternoon. So that's where I'm at with the Timberwolves right now. But the unfortunate thing is that it really covered a positive week, I thought, in Minnesota sports. As far as Kirill Kaprizov coming back on a 5-year, $45 million contract, that's $9 million average annual value. It goes to the 2025-26 season, so he's going to be 28. The Wild are going to get this guy for 5 years at the prime of his career. If he wants to walk after that, you know what? So be it. Then let him walk. But the fact that the Wild are going to get him in his prime years, that's huge for me. And the fact that they did this, you know, a couple days before training camp, and the way that Viking season is going, I talked to my dad on Wednesday morning. I said, obviously, I'm really happy, but the timing of this could not get any better, because if the Vikings drop to 0-3 this weekend, what do we got? You know, we're looking forward to basketball season, and we're looking forward to Wild season. So we get Kirill Kaprizov. Not only does the team get better, but it gets more exciting. Man, this team, even if they would be decent and they made the playoffs, they're just not as fun. They're not as captivating as when Kirill the Thrill is out on the ice. So, I, you know, there were some positives from this week. It just stinks that the sports gods just cannot let Timberwolves fans, Minnesota fans have that moment for a couple of days, because Lord knows how tough the first 2 weeks of the NFL season has been for Viking fans, including myself, with the Bengals loss and now the Greg Joseph missed kick on Sunday against Arizona. So that's where we're at with everything. The rest of the pod is going to be positive, and it's going to be positive for the mood of the show and hopefully positive for that Wild of yours. 3-0 last week, 5-1. I'm going to keep telling you that I went 3-0 because it doesn't happen a lot. It's probably not going to happen again for another 3 years. When you get a record like that, when you go 3-0, that is freaking hard to do. Gambling, number one. Number two, the NFL is nuts. So without further ado, get your pen and paper out. Get the wallet out. Get the FanDuel. Get the app. Whatever you need. Steve's three NFL guarantees. That's up next here on the Strom Sports Show.
It's time for Steve's three NFL guarantees.
I will never get sick of telling you guys I went 3-0. I went 3-0. I went 3-0. You guys know I went 3-0 last week. 5-1 overall record. I will never be shy of an undefeated week. It doesn't happen a lot. It probably won't happen for the next 5 years. So I'm going to tell you again. I went 3-0 last week. 3-0. 1-2-3. Didn't lose a game last week. We had the Bills -2.5. We had the Titans +5.5. Beat Seattle outright. And then we had Pats and Jets under 42. What a lock that was. We're gonna switch it up here. Week 3. Here we go. 5-1 overall. Steve 3 NFL guarantees. Manscaped, 20% off plus free shipping. Promo code Strom. First one of the day, I'm gonna give you Cleveland -7 against the Chicago Bears. Couple reasons behind this take. Number one, Justin Fields is starting. Rookie quarterback. I love Justin Fields. It's going to be really hard to cheer against him in the same division. I think the future is bright with him. I love the kid. But he is going to Cleveland, where that Browns defensive line is legit. Clowney, Garrett, the secondary is awesome. They're a tough team to beat at home. And what I love most about this game, Cleveland struggled with Houston. And some people might think, oh, well, they're not very good. No, no, no. This league is week by week, matchup by matchup. Kevin Stefanski is not going to let the Browns sleepwalk like they sort of did against Houston. I like the Browns big in this game, and I hope they win big so they sleepwalk the following week against yours truly, the Minnesota Vikings. Browns -7. Next one. You know, eventually I had to unveil it. I had to go with the team. I had to go a little homer mode. Vikings +1.5. This is a must-win for the Vikes. We've talked about it. Last week was very encouraging. I think this is going to be a statement game for the Vikings. There's a lot of people that are like, all right, they're 0-2, but man, they should have won last week, and they probably should have won the week before that. This is where the Vikings put it all together. Most importantly, this is going to be the first crowd since 2019 in December that the Vikings are going to have a full crowd in that rockin' U.S. Bank Stadium. They're going to remind people that this is a top home field advantage in football. Give me the Vikings, +1.5, but just please give me straight up here. Vikes are going to beat Seattle on Sunday. Mark it down. Last one, response week. Response, Kansas City Chiefs had no business losing to the Baltimore Ravens. They just kind of sleepwalk. They know who they are. They know they're going to get back to the AFC Championship. They're going to walk there. But after a loss against the Chargers at home, a ticked off Mahomes, a ticked off Andy Reid, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire who fumbled in that game against Baltimore, he wants some revenge. This has blowout central written all over it. The Chargers don't play a lot of defense. They also lost to Los Angeles a couple of years ago when they probably shouldn't have. Give me the Chiefs -6.5 at home here. I think they run away with this one. In conclusion, Browns -7, Vikings straight up. Don't even give me a spread. They're +1.5, but give me them straight up. And the Chiefs -6.5 versus the Chargers. All right, before we get to Jen Mueller, we're going to get into Seahawks-Vikings. But first of all, we talked about gambling. We talked about the 3-0 week. I told you I went 3-0. That's undefeated. I've got to first tell you, to all of my gamblers of all shapes and sizes, that our friends at Manscaped have a can't-miss bet for you today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. The leaders in male grooming just launched their fourth-generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor when you use the Lawnmower 4.0 downstairs. Across the board, this is the package to get you in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty? 2 million men already have, including yours truly. Join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM, S-T-R-O-M. Again, if you have some trouble going on the site, because I've heard some people say when they check out, there's already a discount code in there, hit me up at SSTRM underscore on Twitter. I'll walk you through it. You get 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM. Go on there. Get the lawnmower. You can get the weed whacker. Those are the two of the items that they sent me complimentary. It's been fantastic. I still use them. I also bought by myself the body wash. The body wash, the two-in-one, makes me feel great, makes me smell great. 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM at manscaped.com. All right, Jen Mueller is with us now. She is an on-air talent for Root Sports out in Seattle. She's a Seahawks sideline reporter, the founder of Talk Sporty to Me. You can follow her on Twitter at Jen Talk Sports. We got a big one this weekend. Vikings looking for their first win of the year as they face off against the Seahawks. Jen, Steven Strom here. It's great to have you on. How's everything going?
You know what? It would be going a lot better if Seattle had gotten the win last week, but such is life. We are soldiering on.
We are soldiering on, and we will get into that game. I wanted to just ask you off the jump, did some research before this on you. You go to SMU, you graduate, you start officiating high school sports. You end up now being a sideline reporter for the Seahawks. You're also doing stuff with the Seattle Mariners. This is one of the coolest paths that I've read. Can you just sort of give us a Sparks Notes version of how you ended up here?
Yeah. So I went to school for broadcast journalism. I've always been a sports fan, always played sports. My brother and I were kind of in the same boat. But when I went to school, there were not a whole lot of women doing sports. And it was pretty, it was discouraged by a lot of people. And growing up in Texas, where football is everything, and knowing that I didn't play the sport, I knew that I needed to differentiate myself in another way. And I missed being competitive at something. You know, when I wasn't an athlete anymore, I missed being competitive. So I turned to officiating, and I started as an intramural flag football official. And I thought, you know what? People might not believe that I know football, but if I tell them that I'm an official, that's going to give me a little bit more credibility. So I did 4 years of flag football. I did 10 years of high school, and I am on the sidelines for the Seahawks, which all of it kind of goes together, but I'll tell you the real secret to success, honest to goodness, Steven, is showing up every single place the Seahawks looked. When the job finally was open and the previous sideline reporter left, it was really easy to interview because I had been around the team so much. Mm. I think they probably already thought I worked for the team at that point because I was everywhere they looked. So it's showing up consistently, but knowing how to talk about football, understanding penalty enforcement, that definitely gave me a little bit of credibility in the locker room.
Being a woman in sports, and I do want to talk about this really quickly, and then we'll get into the game. You know, this is more important to me. You just talked about just coming up in sports. It's challenging, right? Like, who are some of the female broadcasters that you looked up to? Because I'm sure there weren't a lot, and now we're starting to see more.
Yeah, I loved watching Hannah Storm. I loved watching Melissa Stark. There was actually a local sports broadcaster in Houston where I grew up, Lisa Molaski, and I wrote a letter to her. That's how long ago this was. And she responded back to me, and I just thought that was the coolest thing in the entire world. And she gave me some great advice when I was like 13. And I really appreciate all of the gals. And now I get to be on the sidelines with everybody that you see, you know? Michelle Tafoya is one
That's
of the
my
best,
favorite.
Right?
Yep.
Pam Oliver, all of these gals. And I think the coolest thing is, for as much as we talk about competition, the competition isn't between each other. Our competition is, can we be better ourselves than we were the next day? And I would say I feel very supported on the sidelines by those gals. We share a lot of information, and it really is cool to be in that environment and to be around these gals.
Jen Mueller with us now, Seahawks sideline reporter. Let's get into the game. Let's get into last week first. We watched the Viking game, obviously, but for Seattle, 14-point lead they blew in the fourth quarter, eventually losing in overtime. What sort of happened towards the end of this game? Usually Russ and Peter, unreal at home, and a 14-point lead, that's usually easy money for them.
Yeah, this does not happen under Pete Carroll. You're absolutely right about that. And I think to sum up what happened, it's two words. It's Derrick Henry. I mean, the defense held them to 35 yards in the first half, but they never went away from the run. Tennessee kept running the ball. And suddenly those 1, 2, 3-yard gains turned into 5, 6, and then he breaks a couple of big big runs. The defense was on the field for 42 minutes. They played 90 plays. Mm-hmm. If you cannot sustain a drive on offense, you put your defense in a really tough position trying to bring down Derrick Henry. So I think he had a huge impact on the game. Meanwhile, Seattle did not establish the run last week. And one of the challenges was a couple of quick scoring strikes. They scored with less than a minute to go in the first half. They had another deep touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett. And what Pete said was, we never really found our rhythm because we scored too quickly. So I would say not having the running game there when they needed it, combined with the defense having to stay on the field, it just didn't go very well in the end.
Similar to Arizona, they saw Derrick Henry week one, then they get to see Dalvin Cook. So similar situation, the same one exactly for Seattle. What's been the message? Because, you know, Derrick Henry's unbelievable. Then you're getting another great running back in Dalvin Cook, who just came off an incredible game against Arizona.
Yeah, definitely fundamentals on defense. And Dalvin is way different than Derrick, right?
Completely.
Dalvin's going to be the speedster. Dalvin, if you miss that, but he's going to be gone by the time you get off your block, right? So you have got to be very gap sound, but also your eyes have to be right. And everything this week has been about fundamentals. Don't over pursue. Don't try to do too much. Just be exactly where you're supposed to be on the field, because that was part of it against Derrick Henry. There was a couple of guys on some plays that got maybe a little over anxious, but when you over pursue and you miss, it leaves way too much on the backside of that play. So stay home and make the sure tackles this week on defense.
All right, let's do the taunting penalty, Jen, because DJ Reed last week, I don't know, man, like some of this stuff with football, like it's an emotional game. And you're from Texas. I mean, you know how intense and emotional these games can be. Where are you stand right now? Where are you at with the taunting, specifically with the DJ Reed call last week?
Yeah, I think it is a horrible, I think it's a horrible rule, right? Like it's a horrible rule. And you put a ton of pressure on the officials. I wouldn't want to be the one calling that play, because you want to know the difference between that being a penalty and not a penalty. DJ was still facing the offensive player. If DJ had turned a half turn and faced any of his teammates, that wouldn't have been a penalty. Let me tell you what I don't want to have to throw a flag on. Something like that during the course of the game that has zero impact on the game itself. And I understand, right? We don't want guys to get out of control, but you're right. You are playing at such a level. And essentially what you are telling guys is, you go out there, you do great work, and then don't say anything about it. Now that I am off my soapbox, what Pete Carroll said about it was this: the rule is the rule. The flag was correct. By the letter of the law, DJ Reed should have gotten that penalty. And Pete will tell you it is up to him and the coaching staff to make sure that doesn't happen again. Do you see how calm and measured I am?
Very.
When I give it to you in Pete Carroll's words, because that is not what I am feeling internally over that penalty. Yeah, no.
Well, neither am I. I mean, I just think football fans in general, even on the opposing team, you're like, all right, I don't want to win like that. Like, you don't want to take that part of the game, out of it, right? Like, it's just football, you know, getting up, like Ray Lewis, like these guys are emotional dudes. And you know, you were talking about the adrenaline. Like, how are you supposed to make a big hit or run someone over and then be like, all right, cool, thanks. Next down, you know, like, come on, this is football.
Yeah, I know. And it's the second taunting call the Seahawks have had in 2 weeks. DK had one in week one. And that was a little bit more obvious because they were almost, you know, like face to face looking at each other after a goal line play. You know, I kind of get it. And that rule's not going to go away this year, right? So they've got to figure out a way to adjust and to be more cognizant of it. And having said that, Seattle had way too many 15-yard penalties last week. I mean, taunting aside, they had way too many of those, over 100 yards. They've got to clean that up this week against Minnesota.
Jen Mueller with us, Root Sports, Seattle sideline reporter. Let's do the Vikes a little bit, because these last 2 weeks, I mean, I've been telling people, if you wanted to know what's it like being a Viking fan, right, the ups and downs of being a Viking fan, just watch the last 2 weeks, because you shouldn't have probably been in the game against Cincinnati. Zach Taylor makes a boneheaded call on 4th-and-2. You get into overtime. Your best player fumbles and you lose the game. And then the following week, you have Greg Joseph, who just hit multiple 50-yard kicks, misses a 37-yard field goal indoors. What's the message for Pete Carroll about this Viking team at 0-2? I think a lot of people are like, hey, be weary of this team. They're not as bad as their record shows.
Yeah, no question. No question. In fact, he knows that Kirk Cousins is getting the ball out faster and moving the offense faster than he has in previous years. Dalvin Cook is always an issue and a challenge. I don't care what his health status is this week. They are absolutely gearing up for him. And when you've got Adam Thielen, and particularly those two guys on third down, which has been a problem for that Seahawks defense, they know that this is a team not to be reckoned with. And then you look at the other side of that. I get that the corners are new, and I understand that that secondary has not gelled the way that the Vikings would have liked. The Seahawks, however, are very familiar with Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson has shadowed DK Metcalf before. They understand what he can do and how much he can take wide receivers out of that one. And then that pass rush, I know maybe not the biggest names. And, you know, you talk about Chandler Jones a lot. How about the guys that the Vikings have up front? They can get some pressure on you with Everson Griffin and who's my other one that I'm
Danielle
forgetting?
Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Second in the NFL in sacks behind Chandler.
Yeah. And Chandler went off for that five in one game against who was it? It was against Tennessee. So everything, it's like worlds are colliding right now. You play Tennessee, we just played Arizona. So it's all there. Let's do, because my storyline is definitely the corners for the Vikings. Rashad Breeland has really struggled, and they're going to face a tandem in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Every week, man, Tyler Lockett is catching a touchdown, it feels like. But it might feel the other end about Adam Thielen. What are some of your storylines that you're looking at in this game that could determine the outcome?
Absolutely that same one, Tyler Lockett against the secondary. And I would actually throw this one in. I think Tyler Lockett is going to get a lot of attention, more than he has gotten in the last couple of weeks. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if it's DK Metcalf who ends up being the biggest headache for the secondary. If I'm looking at last week's game and I'm recognizing that the Seahawks did not establish the run or really utilize any of those short underneath routes, week one, they were taking some of those short 3 and 5 yard passes and they were turning them into gains and they were moving the ball down the field. I would also look at Gerald Everett. I know you probably expected me to say Chris Carson, the running back, but I would like look at Gerald Everett, the tight end. He is going to be able to get a body against some of those big guys, but also he got one catch for 3 yards last week. This system functions much better when the tight ends are involved. And I would say the other storyline goes back to the penalties. The Seahawks cannot shoot themselves in the foot, but I also know that Vikings fans are saying the same thing. There's been a lot of points given up in the last 2 minutes of halves by the Vikings. The Seahawks are excellent in the two-minute drill on offense. In fact, they have scored right before halftime in each of the first two games using that two-minute drill. So I'm looking for kind of all of those things to come together. And I haven't even said Bobby Wagner's name, who had a franchise record 20 tackles last week. So as much as I would like to see 20 tackles, much as I would love to see Bobby match that, it also means that he wasn't getting enough help with Derrick Henry. I'd like him to lead the team in tackles, but maybe bring that down just a little bit.
My goodness. Jen Mueller with us. Last one we'll do. Lex, let me just say give you one more note. This game is the first crowd that the Vikings are going to have since 2019 of December. And Jen, I work for the Heat now, so I'm a Heat guy, but Vikings will always have a soft spot. Me and my dad, we have played in Seattle the last 10 years. The last time it feels like Seattle's been there was the Blair Walsh miss. I mean, how many times did it feel like the Vikings went to Seattle?
Yeah. I feel like we have played you since then. I realize it was in Seattle. We played you in the preseason a couple of times. I know it is going to be crazy. And look, as much as I don't want Minnesota to have a home field advantage with the fans, it is electric.
It's going to be juiced
having
up.
Fans back in the stands. And I just think it's awesome. And Minneapolis is one of my sneaky good cities to travel to. It's one of my favorites. So I cannot wait to be back.
Last quick one for you. Just working on the sidelines. It's a dangerous game sometimes, especially with the rain in Seattle. You got any funny stories? You got any close calls on the sideline as we end up this spot?
I thankfully, knock on wood, while doing NFL games, have not run into any serious trouble. I did get run over as a flag football official by a military member who we were officiating a game with two military teams. Mm-hmm. It was real sweet. The guy saw that I couldn't move, tried to scoop me up as he was falling down to the ground. And that doesn't really break anybody's fall. Nope. I just end up being, you know, like the soft landing place for that. I will say this, I worked a game in Lambeau Field a few years ago, and those sidelines are really tight. And there's a TV crew that's pulling cables. So I'm dodging players. I'm also dodging cables. And a cable got wrapped around my ankle. And it was pretty scary for a few seconds because the guy that was pulling it, that was attached to a cart, didn't know that it was attached to my ankle and pulled it for a good long while. And I was able to keep up, but I had a wire burn on my ankle that lasted there for about 4 years.
Battle wounds. This is sports. This is a broadcast.
I know. Come on. You have no idea how rough this is for me on the sidelines.
Jen, awesome stuff today. I asked for 10 minutes. You gave me a lot more. Fantastic spot. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. And man, I hope we play Seattle next year. I'm bringing you right back on.
Perfect. I would love that.
All right. Thanks again, Jen. All right, Jen Mueller, everyone. Big shout out to Jen. Big shout out to Brandon Morton. Big shout out to the entire TalkNorth.com. How about John Krasinski this week breaking that Gerson Rosas story, doing some great reporting. Journalism still matters, folks. You also have Michael Russo, Kirill Kaprizov, him breaking that. I mean, I'm so fortunate to work for such a fantastic network with great people. Just here for the ride, man. Just here for the ride. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped. 20% off plus free shipping with the code Strom. We got another 3-0 week possibly ahead of us for the NFL picks. Can you imagine if I come back here and I'm 8-1? You might as well just turn down the volume because I'm going to be fired up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show.